Welcome to this special tape, How to Turbocharge Your Sales and Profits with Dan Kennedy's Magnetic Marketing. In just a few minutes, you'll hear highlights from one of Mr. Kennedy's speeches, recorded live in front of an audience of about 6,000 people at one of the famous Peter Lowe International Success 2000 events, held in dozens of cities nationwide. Through these events and his other speeches for associations and corporate groups, Dan Kennedy shares his exceptionally profitable marketing strategies with nearly 200,000 people each year, frequently appearing on programs with other popular business speakers like Zig Ziglar, Brian Tracy, Jim Rohn, and Tom Hopkins, legendary entrepreneurs like Debbie Fields of Mrs. Fields Cookies and Jim McCann of 1-800-Flowers, former U.S. Presidents Bush and Ford, General Norman Schwarzkopf and General Colin Powell, Larry King and Paul Harvey, and many sports and entertainment celebrities. Mr. Kennedy has tens of thousands of people in every imaginable business and industry, and sales professionals in every field who utilize his magnetic marketing methods. And you can hear some of their comments about their experiences on side two of this tape. Dan Kennedy is also the author of 8 published books, including How to Succeed in Business by Breaking All the Rules. A businessman and a busy consultant, Entrepreneur Magazine once observed that, quote, Dan Kennedy has 102 different money-making ideas for any business person. And now, here's Dan Kennedy.
I'm going to send you out of here with specific, usable 1, 2, 3 marketing strategies that apply to any product, service, business, or sales career that you will see results in your bank account within 21 days or less. I'm going to give you one complete strategy you can use exactly as I describe it to you at the end of our time together that you will be able to go and apply, and I can make a virtual certain bet that none of you in here are using it exactly as I will describe it to you, but that most of you can. And again, most of you will be able to see results in your bank account in 21 days or less as a result. So we're going to do some real practical stuff. I am here to make you money. There's a couple things I'd like folks to know about me before we get rolling. One is, if you're at this seminar, good bet you go to a bunch of them. And at many seminars, what you encounter is what I call the pretend experts, the folks who sell only in their memories, run businesses only in their nightmares, and now traverse the globe telling people how to do what it is that either they never have done. A whole lot easier to write a book than it is to do it, or that they did so long ago that it just no longer matters. I do this 50, 60 times a year. It's only one-third of my life, though. Two-thirds of my life is like yours. It's in the real world, dealing with customers and clients who eat their young every Monday morning, real marketing problems, and everything we talk about here this afternoon will be reality-based, not theory-based. I have 2 hate lists for you that pretty much summarize where we're going to go this afternoon. If you run a business and you sign your name on the dotted line on all the checks, then one of the key things on your list of things that you hate should be being what I call an advertising victim. And when I say that, you should get a mental picture. That's when you get the big black checkbook out and you sign one of those checks for some kind of advertising expense and you hand it to some kind of advertising salesperson and you have no earthly idea whether you made a good decision, bad decision, when you'll know, how you'll know, if you'll know. I detest that kind of uncertainty when I spend my money. Bet you do too. Going to show you how to eliminate it, how to make every dollar you spend promoting your business trackable, accountable, measurable, and come back to you quickly in multiples. For those of you that sell for a living, number one on your hate list should be cold call prospecting grunt work. My friend Zig would call that warm approaching. And if he and I agreed on everything, one of us would be unnecessary. I just don't see anything warm, friendly, fuzzy, happy, pleasant about this process of trying to talk to people who at least emotionally, if not physically, are backing away from you as fast as you are moving towards them. I grew up in the Midwest where we have coal mining, and to me, coal prospecting is like coal mining. It's dirty, filthy, ugly, smelly, sweaty work, best left to people who earn minimum wage with brawn, not maximum wage with brain. And so regardless of what you have done before this afternoon, as a result of what we do this afternoon, you should never cold prospect again as long as you live. I'm going to show you how to eliminate it from your existence and change the way you attract your customers or clients. One quick story, set the stage for where we're going to go, then we'll roll up our sleeves and get to work. Story gets us acquainted and sets our direction. I live in Phoenix. And I guess you have heat kind of like ours. You know, our license plate slogan is, but it's a dry heat. And it is, just like a microwave 4 months out of the year. And it's important to this story. Phoenix, just if you haven't been, just take my word for it. There is no hotter place in North America than Phoenix in July and August. I travel a great deal, 200,000 air miles or so a year. But I do have an office. I do have a staff. Even when I'm home, though, I tend not to go to the office. I find it disturbs the staff. And so generally when I'm home, I stay at home. And one of the things I do is I catch up on consulting calls with my clients on the phone. And so several Julys ago, I'm home alone, weekday afternoon, everybody's out of the house. I've got the house to myself. I'm at the kitchen counter. I've got a pitcher of iced tea. I've got a client on the speakerphone. I'm intensely involved in a conversation with my client when someone uninvited, unexpected, and in fact unknown to me begins to ring the doorbell and bang on the front doors of my home with earthquake intensity. You all work for a real living. You're not home during the day. But if you stop and think about it, the options of who can be at your home on a weekday afternoon, uninvited, banging on the door is pretty slim. It's a pest. Not sure who it is. Back in the recession years, we knew because all the Jehovah Witnesses and Avon ladies carpooled. But now it can be all sorts of people. But it's a pest. And so I did what you do with pests. I ignore it, confident that if sufficiently ignored, it'll go away. Didn't. I'm ignoring, continuing my conversation. He's ringing and banging, ringing and banging, ringing and banging. But finally, I'm right. After ignoring him for a sufficient length of time, he gives up and leaves, ever so briefly. He goes around to the rear of my property. He climbs over an 8.5-foot-high masonry wall with shards of glass embedded on the top to discourage this method of entry. Comes down past the cactuses, the shrubs, the pool, and the spa, and he is now on the patio deck. Immediately behind me, he can see my back to him through the panes of glass on the doors on which he is now banging with incredible violence. This is by far the most annoying pest ever. But I'm like the most stubborn guy ever. So I keep my back to him, raise my voice to carry on my conversation. We have the contest of wills that seems to last an eternity. Finally, he wins. I can't handle it anymore. I turn around to deal with the most annoying pest ever. It turns out the reason he's there is my entire backyard is in flames. We set a record that year, 15 straight 120-degree days, and everything a little dry, brittle. My guess is some imbecile driving through the community flicked a cigarette butt into orbit and picked my yard to limp, and I'll never know. But literally, everything but the water in the pool is on fire. And this good Samaritan who thinks I'm an idiot, which is arguable by now, is there trying to save my house. Now, here's what's instructive. Here's what's useful. At that precise moment in time, he went from being the most annoying pest to the most welcome guest ever to visit the Kennedy household in 15 years because he was there with just the right message at just the right moment in time. In this case, call 911, stupid, I'll work the host. Now, the reason it's instructive is because know it or not, acknowledge it or not, like hearing it or not, the vast majority of the time that you try and communicate with your marketplace, present, past, or future prospects, clients, or customers, you are categorized as a pest, not as the most welcome guest of the day, week, month, or year. And I'm here to tell you that if you discover how to change that, I call it addressing the first square on the marketing game board. If you change that, you automatically change everything. Everything else suddenly gets easy if you become what we call a welcome guest marketer. Let me give you two quick examples. I have two friends in this business. You would know one or both of them, maybe. I won't tell you their names. But one is a sales trainer. And if you've ever had the joy of being locked in a 3 or 4 or 5 day sales training boot camp, then you'll appreciate this. He teaches 365 different ways to close a sale, presumably for people who would like to improve their effectiveness of doing so. And whenever I see him, the first thing I always ask him is whether or not he's found one yet that works. Because it would seem to make the other 364 superfluous, but it's less tapes in the box. But other than that, but here's my contention. If you want to increase your conversion percentage, if you want to close more sales, you don't do it with a new magic 7-word manipulative phrase you pop out of the box at the end of the process. You do it from the beginning of the process. And if you become a welcome guest marketer, as we're going to talk about, then your closing percentage goes up without improving any of your sales skills whatsoever. My other buddy is in the time management business. And he sells, some of you have them, probably under your seats or out in your cars, the really big honking time management systems that if you got a small car, you got to strap it on the roof when you drive around, which is why they come with solar calculators. They recharge while they're up there. These things usually have 56 colored tabs and 86 colored pens, and it takes an hour and a half to learn how to use it. It comes with a videotape. And as near as I can tell, it takes an hour and a half a day to use the system to manage the time that saves you an hour a day. But if you like those things, that's fine. My contention, though, is if you want to improve your personal productivity, you don't necessarily need a new leather binder. Instead, what you do is become a welcome guest marketer, so you spend all your face-to-face time only dealing with people who have sought you out and are predisposed to do business with you in a competitive vacuum. And so that's what I'm all about. That's what I do for companies and organizations, people. Every time we do it, we build a new marketing system. We cover three main issues. We deal with three steps. Going to run you through them very quickly here this afternoon, and here they are. We'll talk a little bit about each one of them as we go along. Gentlemen in the back of the room, thank you. The first one is right message. What do you say? Message. Marketing message. What do you say to your marketplace, to your past, present, future prospects, clients, and customers that is compelling, that is magnetic, that cannot be ignored, that must be responded to, that draws them to you like a light on a dark night draws moths? Do you have a great marketing message? We're going to ask some questions and find out. Secondly, who do you say it to, and by deliberate strategy, who do you not say it to? Being efficient in your marketing. Are you efficient? Are you smart about this? Or are you throwing mud against the wall? We're going to ask some questions and find out. And third, the media, how you deliver the message to the market. Do you do that effectively? Do you do that affordably? Do you do that efficiently? Do you do that in a way that involves little or no manual labor and magnetically attracts people to you? We're going to take a look at that. So in each of these three things, I'm going to give you one or two key ideas to take with you. And for starters, under message, I want to send you home with the single most important question anybody's going to ask you about your product, service, business, or sales career as long as you're in it. Master this one question. You take a quantum leap in ability to create income as a salesperson, business owner, or marketer. This is the single most important question because the right answer to it, as I'll demonstrate, is the key to the marketing vault. It doesn't just marginally increase things. It multiplies them far beyond the ability of most people to even conceive. It is that important. And I'll give you a model, a demonstration. Now, the technical term, for those of you taking notes, for the answer to this question is USP. It stands for Unique Selling Proposition, that which differentiates you from all competition, direct and indirect. And here's the question. Why should I, your prospect, choose to do business with you versus any and every other option available to me in your category? Why should I choose to do business with you versus any and every other option available to me in your category? And when you have a great answer to that question, you can turn things upside down. Example, model. I'm going to give you a model to take home. A model of one of the best unique selling propositions invented in maybe the last two decades. And so what you want to do with this model is you want to take it home and lay it down next to your unique selling proposition and see how they compare. And if they don't compare very well, then this one's a good place to start to build a great answer to this question. This particular model, this unique selling proposition, was invented by a college kid. Two kids, orphans, no family resources, no athletic ability, no scholarships, determined to go to college. Here's the plan they hatch. The plan they hatch is they find a crummy, miserable, stinking little retail business that's on the edge of campus on the brink of failure. Its owner is only too happy to lease it to them with no money down just to get out from under the ongoing bills. The plan is the two kids are going to run this business. One of them is going to go to school during the day while the other one works the business. Then they're going to flip-flop. The other one's going to go to school at night. They're going to do everything in the business. They're even going to sleep on cots in the back room, keep all the money. This is how they'll get through school. Shortly into this plan, the business is continuing to hemorrhage money. One partner bails out on the other. The one who stayed behind, dropped out of school, determined to honor his commitments and make this work, shortly thereafter invented a unique selling proposition. I think it's 8 words long. And on the strength of his unique selling proposition, he not only almost immediately turned a failing business into a successful business, but he multiplied it. Pretty soon he had multiple outlets. He dominated his city, he dominated his state, he dominated North America, and in under 5 years, according to Fortune magazine, he became one of the 1,000 wealthiest citizens on the planet, all thanks to his 8-word unique selling proposition. His unique selling proposition was so powerful, think about this, that for a decade we could go out anywhere in North America, stop 100 people at random on the street, play word association with them. What's the first thing that comes into your mind when we say blank? give them the generic equivalent of his business and 80 or more of the 100, the first thing on the tip of their mind, first thing on the tip of their tongue was the proprietary brand name of his business and what a good job he did. If we go out in Salt Lake City Mall, we stop 100 people at random on the street and we give them the generic equivalent of whatever it is that you do. Real estate, insurance, stocks, bonds, computers, automobiles, pet grooming, doesn't make any difference. And 80 of the 100 instantly respond by telling us about you by name and what a great job you do, what your market share is going to look like. That's called marketplace dominance. That's what this kid got. He turned his entire industry upside down, had everybody chasing him for 10 years trying to catch up. You can do it too with the lever of a great answer to this question, a powerful, unique selling proposition. Now, if you guessed what his was, that's all well and good. But what I've said should hopefully motivate you not just to guess and shrug, but to want to microscopically analyze his and others like his to find clues that you can use to strengthen your own. His was fresh hot pizza delivered in 30 minutes or less, comma, guaranteed. And on the strength of that unique selling proposition, Tom Monahan took a crummy little corner pizza joint and built an empire. When you analyze it, there's a number of things to spot. I'll point out three. One, how narrowly he defined his position in the marketplace. Tom didn't try and be all things to all people. There's no mention of Mama's recipe from the old country. There's no mention only using sun-dried tomatoes gathered on the east side of the mountain on Tuesday. There's not even any mention of good pizza. There's truth in advertising after all. There's 52 ways that I teach to build a USP. The one Tom used there is called opportunity gap exploitation. He identified the one thing in his industry that everybody did badly, that annoyed the consumers the most, focused on it, fixed it, and made it the core of his marketing message. Secondly, what we teach is meaningful specifics rather than vague generalities. Tom Monahan didn't say to you, I'll get you a pizza soon, fast, quick, quicker than the other guy, faster than a speeding bullet. Tom said, set your watch. It'll be there in precisely 30 minutes or less. We call that gutsy, accountable marketing. Very few marketers, very few business owners are ever willing to do it for obvious reasons. Those who do gain incredible leverage in the marketplace, and there's case history after case history after case history to support it. Third, a guarantee. Tom took all three of those things and a number of other things we don't have time to analyze and knit them together in this tight, concise little statement called a unique selling proposition, the foundation of his entire marketing message, and it gave him the leverage to turn one little business into a global empire. You may not want a global empire, but you may like the leverage. So, the first thing to take home, the first little homework assignment is to go home and think about why should I do business with you versus any and every other option available to me in your category? How's your answer? How's your marketing message? Now, second, let's assume we figure all that out. Let's assume we got a great marketing message at its core, is a great unique selling proposition. We're excited about getting it out to the marketplace. It's so good, we're ready to spend money getting it out to the marketplace. Here's the next challenge. World's greatest marketing message is no better than the world's worst marketing message if it's shouted at deaf ears. We do this a lot. Most people are not any more sophisticated about marketing their businesses, products, or services than they were 2 decades ago. In fact, here's the level of sophistication that most of us unfortunately settle for. Print up brochures, a lot of them. Stuff them in a big burlap sack. Rent a plane. Fly low. Lean out, shake sack, hope. We can do better. And here's why we can do better. For good or bad, and it's a debate that has nothing to do with us marketers, privacy in America is dead. It's gone, buried, forget it. The database world, the world of lists, the world of demographics, psychographics, the world of target marketing knows more about you than your mother. And so if you say to me, here's what target marketing is all about. Target marketing is all about leveraging resources. Great marketing message, now we want to leverage our resources. It's matching the message with only high probability prospects, and here's why and how it can be done. If you say to me, my perfect prospect is a one-legged midget with an industrial engineering degree between the ages of 35 and 52. He's got 3 kids, 2 dogs, 1 television set. He bowls in a league on Wednesday night, and he drives a Chevy Impala that's between 4 and 6 years old and has primer paint on the left front fender. We can get a list of them in your zip code. Not going to be a very big list, but we can get a list. And it begs the issue of high probability prospecting, target marketing, using your resources only to reach the people who are perfectly matched with what it is that you have to offer. So when we start to talk about target marketing, We spent about 5 minutes, and if you know nothing else about target marketing, you'll understand that you'll instantly understand the first thing on the list. There's about 15 ways to do target marketing. If you're a business-to-business marketer, you do it technically different than if you're a consumer marketer, but conceptually it's the same. Here are the top 5 ways to target market if you're a consumer marketer, and you'll understand the first one if you understand nothing else about target marketing. The first one on the list is basic geographic target marketing. And just about everybody gets it, and pretty much just about everybody does it. That's where you get a map, take kids' crayon, styrofoam cup, put the cup over your house, your store, your factory, your place of business, take the crayon, draw a circle around the cup, take the cup away. That's my target market. That's valid, but it is dangerous and wasteful in its simplicity. And so what I want to do with these 5, 6, 7 minutes, I want to at least get you intrigued enough with target marketing that you'll go do the research necessary, which 90% of it can be done for free and 90% of it's a do-it-yourself project, take you less than a day, in order to become a much more sophisticated, precise target marketer in your particular business. So let me tell you why you want to be more sophisticated than geographic. I'm in my office one day and I get a phone call. Now, you should know I'm never in my office, and when I'm there, I never take incoming calls for reasons that will become obvious in a second. But somehow this day, this guy gets through to me on the phone. He says, look, I've been to 3 of your seminars. I got your complete marketing system. Most recently, we've been doing a marketing campaign for our company. We followed the examples in your system. We've been doing direct mail. We followed your examples perfectly, and we are getting zero response. This is not a good call. This is why I don't take incoming calls. But somehow, I'm on the phone, so you got to ask questions. Turns out this guy owns the largest carpet cleaning company in Phoenix where I live. I said, okay, where did you send all the mail that didn't get results? He said, we picked a few neighborhoods real close to the plant so it'd be easy for the guys in the trucks to take care of the customers. Geographic marketing. I said, okay, what can you tell me about the people who live there? He said, they live close to the plant. I had that. I was moving on to what's called demographics and psychographics. Big words, simple concepts, fascinating when you know how to use them. Demographics are statistical information about groups of people because birds of a feather really do flock together. Demographics are like head of household occupation, income, do they have kids, not have kids, that sort of thing. Psychographics are even more interesting, excuse me, because they're predictive of buying behavior. Psychographics have to do with what interests people. What magazines do they subscribe to? What books do they buy? What products do they buy? What have they spent money on? How much money have they spent? How frequently do they spend money? And as I said, all of that information is readily available if you know where to look for it and how to get it, so you can precisely match yourself with only the high probability prospects, and you can omit others. To prove to him, the owner of this carpet cleaning company, the incredible importance of all this, we did free research for him. I got in his car with him at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and we drove up and down the streets in these neighborhoods where he'd been sending all his unsuccessful mail. And by the way, if you do consumer marketing and you haven't gone out and looked at them lately, venture out, take a look. You got to go into their own habitat late in the day. 5, 6 o'clock is a good time. It's when all the ordinary folks rush home to the caves, but they don't put the rocks in the holes right away, so you check them out. So we're driving up and down the streets, the carpet cleaning president and I, and here's what we find. Real small lots, chain link fence around just about every lot. Small, cheapest block construction house on a slab you can build. Almost every front yard, driveway, or both, there's one old broken-down car or truck up on blocks, parts laying around. It's happy hour. Papa's out on the porch, the concrete slab extension of the foundation, enjoying the ambiance of the evening. He's got on an old greasy undershirt with holes in it, droopy plaid shorts, beer bottle tucked in one pocket, and he's sitting in one of them lawn chairs, the green and white plastic crisscross straps, two straps missing, Papa's hanging a little low. Next to him on most of the porches, Mama's out there enjoying the ambiance of the evening with him. She's got on a matching undershirt, her says his says hers, greasy holes, droopy plaid shorts. The baby wearing nothing but a diaper, no shoes or socks, is out playing under the car on block in the car parts, the mud and the grease, being supervised by the old mangy, flea-bitten, three-legged, one-eyed dog. I say to the carpet cleaner, do these look to you? Slow down, look close. If they clean them at all, once a year before the poor relatives come for vacation, they run down to Target, they get a gallon of blue gop for $1.98, they rent a machine, and then they move the furniture around. Doesn't make them bad people, makes them terrible prospects for a carpet cleaning service. Second big question to take home. In your own way, are you making the same dumb mistake? Wasting bullets on targets that even if you hit them, it doesn't count. The biggest leverage you are going to find in taking small amounts of money and getting big results. Small amounts of effort and getting big results is learning, understanding, and using target marketing. Let's assume for the sake of our conversation we figured that out. We got two of the three things. We got a powerful marketing message at its core, a great unique selling proposition, and in our sights we have exactly who we want to deliver the message to, and we have excluded a whole bunch of people we do not want to waste time or money delivering the message to. So we got a great message, we got a great market. Here's the next challenge. How do you take the message you've so lovingly crafted and birthed and deliver it over here to these people you've carefully selected in a way that is effective, efficient, affordable, involves little or no manual labor — I'm philosophically opposed to manual labor — and will magnetically attract back to you the perfect prospects who are ready, able, and eager to buy, and buy only from you, so you get to sell in a competitive vacuum? How do you do that? Well, if you make a list, and if you stop to think about it, whatever business you're in, whatever sales career you're in, you can make a long list of media, things that you can spend money on to deliver marketing messages. Depending upon your business, you can advertise in a newspaper, in consumer magazines, or in trade and industrial journals. You can advertise in consumer or industrial directories. You can go exhibit at home and consumer shows or trade shows. You can advertise in the yellow pages. You can go on radio and television. You can put telemarketers on the phone. On and on. Here's a couple things you need to know. First of all that stuff works, and it all can be made to work better with good direct response methods, but only a handful of all those things that you can do can be converted into a system. And system's one of my favorite words. System means reliable, consistent, predictable results. You get it working once, and then it keeps working on its own for a long, 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 long time before you have to tweak with it again. We need marketing systems. And the example I'm going to show you of a marketing system is so predictable, so reliable, so consistent that you go to bed at night when you have this working for you, knowing, not hoping, wishing, not even praying, but knowing within a small acceptable range of variance how many good prospects, customers, or clients are going to come to you by noon the next day, every single day, for as long as you use the system. And it's like a thermometer. You can even turn it up or down to get more or less any time of the week, month, or year that you want them. It's that scientific. So I'm going to show you one example of one marketing system. This example does several things. It demonstrates to you what a system ought to look like versus just catch-as-catch-can media. It shows you how to take a message, deliver it to a market in a way that's effective, efficient, and affordable. And this one has a bonus to it. This one shows you how to enter a new target market and dominate it in 45 days or less for $3 a prospect or less. You become the dominant presence in any target market you can define. If you can define a target market for me, and it doesn't have to be geographically precise necessarily, but if you can define a target market, then this particular system in 45 days or less, $3 a prospect or less, makes you the dominant presence in your category of business in that target market. Everybody knows who you are, what you do, why they ought to do business with you, what your USP is, and a significant percentage have responded to you. There's a couple of caveats, things I have to tell you about this before I show it to you. The first is I stole it. I'm a huge believer in creative theft. Do not know if I've ever had an original idea in my life, but the older I get, less interested I am in encountering those things. Pioneers come home full of arrows. So I'm interested in stuff that works, but I get to do something you don't get to do. The last 3 years, my consulting practice, I've worked with clients in 136 different product, service, business, and professional categories. So you, see, today's a weird day for you because you're sitting with people who do different things. But most of your continuing education, whatever business you're in, here's what you do. You belong to a national association totally made up of people in your business. You belong to a state or local association totally populated by people in your same business. You go to its conventions, meetings, and conferences organized by, put on for, and put on by, and attended by people in your same business. If you go to a strange town, you look in the yellow pages in your section to see what everybody else in your business is doing. You read books written by people in your business. We have a technical term for this. It's called marketing incest. Because it works just like real incest. In a short period of time, everybody seems to get dumber and dumber and dumber and dumber until the whole thing just grinds to a creaking halt. All great advancements in businesses come from outside the box, not inside the box. Well, I get to do it. See, what I get to do as a consultant, I get to go over and work with Industry A. And because everybody's myopic, while I'm over there, I notice something they're doing that's phenomenally effective. Hardly anybody else outside their business is doing it, but could be doing it. I borrow it from Industry A, and I take it over, and I teach it to Industry B. And while I'm over there, I notice something they're doing that hardly anybody else is doing, but could be doing. And so I borrow it from Industry B, and I take it back, and I teach it to Industry A. It's a disreputable way to make a living, but I'm a high school graduate. This particular system I'm going to show you as an example, I borrowed 25, 26, 27, I don't know how many years ago now, by observation only from the real estate business. Realtors have a marketing term they use called farming. And what they mean, they don't mean DeBoer sister, mule, funny hat, pitchfork, Green Acres song, move to the country. But the agricultural analogy is there. What they mean, when if you hear them talking about farming, what a realtor means is getting a small, carefully selected, manageable target market and setting out to become the dominant presence in their business in that target market in as short a period of time as possible. Now, they do it with manual labor. I don't like manual labor. But conceptually, it's the best marketing advice you're going to get as long as you live, so let's spend a minute dissecting it. What they mean by farming is getting a small, carefully selected, manageable target market and then nurturing it, setting out to become a dominant presence. Now, they mean geographically small. I don't necessarily mean geographically small. A small target market for you could be all the dentists in Salt Lake City who earn over $100,000 a year, but it also could be all the dentists in North America who earn over $250,000 a year. It's a defined target market. Small, carefully selected, manageable, set out to become the dominant presence. So why small? Because the biggest marketing mistake most marketers make is marketing too big. I'll say to somebody, what's your target market? Guy says, Salt Lake City. Terrific. If we send one postcard once a year to every adult in Salt Lake, which can hardly be called an intensive campaign, what's our budget have to be? $250,000. How much you got? $600. Problem. You want a formula? Here's a formula. Somehow, preferably by science, by strategy, by demographics, psychographics, but if necessary, by personal preference or bias, but somehow you have to shrink the size of your target market so that whatever resources you're willing to commit allow you to have big impact. Somehow you have to shrink the size of your target market so whatever resources you're willing to commit allow you to have big impact. There is absolutely no point in jumping up and down in the ocean and thinking you've done something. You want to jump up and down in a puddle. You can move from one puddle to the next, but you want to work puddles, not oceans. Small, carefully selected. We talked about the power of selection of target marketing. Carefully selected, manageable. Manageable means either they are all in the same place, or they all belong to the same thing, or they all read the same thing, or they're all available on a list. Somehow, we can affordably, effectively, and efficiently reach them. Small, carefully selected, manageable target market, set out to become the dominant presence in the target market in as short a period of time as possible. We just want to do it by substituting something for the manual labor the realtors invented. And what we're going to substitute is a very particular type of direct mail. The example I'm going to show you is a direct mail example. Now, two quick caveats. First of all, direct mail is not the only thing I teach, not the only thing you should use, not the only thing in my system. In fact, far from it. There's all sorts of media and delivery systems that can be used. But direct mail can be and often is one of the best bangs for your buck if you learn to do it right. Which brings me to the second caveat. As soon as I start to talk about it, one-third of the ears in the room flop right over. Man, we've tried direct mail. Doesn't work in our state, city, business, industry, product category. It's too expensive. It's too complicated. A couple things about that. First of all, you and I go through life only doing the things that work real, real well for us. Very first time we do them, less kids with each generation. Secondly, you have not tried direct mail the way I'm going to show you how to do direct mail. In fact, almost everybody makes this mistake when they do try it. They get a list from somewhere, maybe not a very good list, but they get a list. They print up something, they send it to the list, and almost no matter what happens, ugly, bad, good, they never mail to those same people again, or if they do, it's 3, 6, 8 months later by accident, and they send them the same stuff they sent them the first time. Save your money. Never do one-shot mail. Let me explain to you why that can't work. Here's how people do not live. The last thing Harvey says to Marge when he leaves the house in the morning is not, Marge, I want you to stay home. Don't go to work. Don't take the kids to school. Don't go to the grocery store. Do not leave this house. Do not leave the foyer. Stay right here in the foyer with your nose pressed against the window watching for the mailman. When the mailman arrives, I want you to hustle your buns out to the mailbox and get the mail before somebody gets it, a bird snatches it, it catches on fire, it gets wet. Get it back in the house. Guard it until I get home. Together we will open the mail because today might be the day that a life insurance agent sends us one of those nifty letters where we can get a free road atlas if we let him come over to our house and beat our brains in for 3 hours and I want a free road atlas. This is not how people live their lives. And what makes people think they can print up one crummy goldenrod flyer, send it out one time and get some stampede of response, it's a mystery to me. The thing doesn't even nick them on the way by. They don't even feel the breeze. Do you want secret? Secret to advertising, secret to marketing, secret to direct mail in specific, secret to both impact and response. If you want impact, if you want response, you must have repetition. The two are inextricably linked. One does not happen without the other, but you cannot do Madison Avenue kind of repetition. You can't afford the time or the money. You need a guerrilla warfare kind of repetition, and that's what I'm going to show you here with this example, an example of one type of marketing system, but certainly a very good one, that in any target market you can define, in 45 days or less, for $3 a prospect or less, with no manual labor, penetrates that market and makes you the dominant presence in that market using a particular type of direct mail. Now, I'm going to show you one example from one business. Got to quickly convince you can move the example to any business. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you sell big ticket items, small ticket items. It doesn't matter whether you sell to the corporate CEO in the boardroom or mom and pop at home in the kitchen. Doesn't matter whether you go to them, they come to you. Doesn't matter whether you sell tangibles, intangibles, consumable products or services. None of that matters. Let me quickly try and prove it to you. These are a few letters about what I'm going to show you. Across my desk recently, this is from an insurance agent. He just says, I targeted 500 business owner prospects. 174 of them called us to set up appointments. This is the only way I'm prospecting now. I would think so. This is a computer software company. They sell only to the Fortune 1000. Your system's the most profitable thing we've done to get new business in 12 years. This is an automobile salesman. I'm amazed. I sold 11 cars last month to referrals brought into an event by past customers, all thanks to your mailing system, and we sent to only about 100 customers. 100 customers, 11 cars. This is a certified financial planner. I went from $13,000 a month to $42,000 a month in fees and commissions, all in a one-month jump, thanks to your system. This is a children's clothing store owner. We doubled business last year, even though a big factory closed in our town. This is an Amway Diamond Direct. We never thought direct mail would work for us, but in 1 month we've dominated the neighborhood, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I've got hundreds of them I could read you. So whatever business you're in, the model moves. The example I'm going to show you comes from the restaurant industry. I use it in all my seminars for two reasons. One, if you had an arena full of restaurant owners, it all swear it won't work. Restaurant owners don't do, built seven restaurants that I know of, but restaurant owners pretty much don't do direct mail, and if they do anything, they do Valpak, you know, the thing you go through, find Baskin-Robbins, throw everything else out. Secondly, I got to do a speaker set. I got to read you just a couple paragraphs of what I'm going to show you, but since I'm going to read you, we might as well have a little fun. This is kind of an in-fun example, but don't miss the serious point of how this can take your marketing message. Deliver it to a chosen market effectively, efficiently, and affordably, and magnetically bring you ready-to-buy customers or clients, dominate a market 45 days or less. So this is letter number one to a geodemographically selected list for an Italian restaurant. In real life, where the square is, there's a photograph of the owner of the restaurant. The headline says, a confidential letter to the husband of the house from Giorgio, the romance director of Giorgio's Italian Grotto. I'll read you just two paragraphs. Dear husband, women are different than we are. Your loving wife needs, wants, and deserves special attention maybe more often than you think to give it to her. You are busy, preoccupied with work, aggravated with that dum-dum you have to deal with every day at the office. Tired. Who has the time or the energy to even think about romance? Two-thirds of all marriages end in divorce, and the number one reason given by divorcing women, quote, he just didn't pay enough attention to me anymore. I wrote this while I was watching Oprah.
This is the end of side one. Turn the cassette over for side two.
Here is another bonus I want you to know about, extremely valuable. If you go to another site of mine called Executive Audio Institute, that's executiveaudioinstitute.com, all together, no slashes, you will see a site with nothing but all my audio recordings, all in downloadable MP3 form. Now, these are the same recordings that I have on hardtofindseminars.com in the audio clip section, except I will offer you the reprint rights to all of these audio recordings. In other words, I'm going to hand them to you on a silver platter. If you have a website and you need something that generates traffic, I will set up a custom site for you, and you can send your visitors to my collection of audio recordings as a bonus. You have here thousands of dollars worth of audio content on some of the best interviews on the internet. You have hundreds of transcripts that you can print out and share with your customers. I'm not going to charge you a dime for it. I'll even build you a custom site. All you have to do is put a small deposit down, but it's refundable once you introduce it to your list. Go on over to to executiveaudioinstitute.com and read the first part. You'll see a link. If you want the reprint rights to these audios, it'll explain everything there. I think you're going to find this extremely valuable. It has taken me years and years to build up this collection, to get them all edited, to put the transcript. I've invested tens of thousands of dollars in this collection, and I want you to have it. Go check it out, executiveaudioinstitute.com.